Voters say one of the key issues in the 2024 election is immigration. And for one of the most compelling storylines on this issue, look no further than the city of Hazleton in northeastern Pennsylvania. It was once a city of European immigrants who worked in the mines and the mills. Hazleton made national headlines in 2006 when city officials vowed to make the city the toughest place on illegal immigrants in America. The city's Latino population was very small then. But now, Latinos are the fastest-growing demographic group in Pennsylvania, which, of course, is a key battleground state. And that growth is happening outside of Philadelphia in cities like Hazleton, which is now more than 60% Latino. Let's talk about this, the political implications, with Charles McAwee. He's founding editor of Real Clear Pennsylvania and a contributing writer at Politico Magazine and City Journal. His article in Politico is "A Growing Latino Belt is About to Reshape Politics." Charles, welcome to Here Now.
Scott, thanks for having me.
You have family ties to Hazleton, where so much about the people and the politics have changed. Can you give us a little picture of the place? Who lived there and worked and played there in the past generation versus now?
Yeah, I would say that the best way to describe Hazleton would be to take a neighborhood in Brooklyn or the Bronx with a mosaic of cultures placed on the mountain in northeastern Pennsylvania and incorporate some anthracite coal. And that's Hazleton, densely packed on the plateau, where at one point 30 languages were spoken.
Wow.
And where the first Slovak Catholic Church, the first Tyrolean Catholic Church, and really the birthplace of the Ukrainian Catholic Church in America,
wow,
in the broader Hazleton area. So fast forward, Scott, today Hazleton is really part of a broader region that has become the global hub for warehousing and logistics on the East Coast, from Allentown and Reading to Hazleton.
So really a picture of also the country's increasing move to a service economy that you see there in Hazleton now. And it is 60% Latino, I understand. So kind of what brought them to this place to work there?
The best way to put it is it's strategically located at near the crossroads of Interstate 80 and 81. And it is just 2 hours west of the George Washington Bridge, which goes into the Washington Heights neighborhood of the Bronx in New York City, which has the largest Dominican community in America. And after 9/11, second to third generation Dominican Americans seeking a better quality of life turned to Hazleton.
For the Latino workers there, for Latino business leaders in the city, how does their worldview overlap with Republican Party priorities? You write about that in your piece.
So Hazleton is at the southern end of Luzerne County. And for perspective, Luzerne County accounted for 60% of Trump's winning margin statewide in 2016. Trump would not have won Pennsylvania in 2016 without Luzerne County. Thereafter in 2020, where the election was decided by 82,000 votes, Luzerne was critical to that razor-thin outcome in Biden's victory. So I consider this, Scott, the second phase of what we're seeing across the country of this working class realignment toward the GOP. Latino voters in the city of Hazleton are mirroring the broader trend occurring in northeastern Pennsylvania, once a reliably Democratic region, among the most Democrat in Pennsylvania, to one that, in the case of Luzerne County, is on pace to having a voter registration majority for the GOP.
Yeah. And Charles, I wonder, I mean, you went there, you have a lot of family there still. Is there a conversation with a Latino voter you had that kind of captures this? I wonder if there are any examples that help illustrate this pattern you're talking about.
Yeah, the pattern, I guess the best way to put it, Scott, is the consistency of the voter sentiments. So both, let's say, lifelong Hazletonian voters and then Latino voters who may have come to Hazleton post 2000, they share concerns about the cost of living. In December, for perspective, a report came out that Pennsylvania led the nation in year-to-year grocery price increases. So in all my conversations, my interviews, Latino voters talked about the cost of grocery prices, supporting their families. If you're in a role of sole proprietorship in especially in retailer services, you don't want to put that cost onto the consumer. Mm-hmm. And they're really feeling it in a place like Hazleton, where the industries are warehousing, services, and small businesses.
And they're connecting the inflation not to the business cycle, but they're connecting it to the incumbent in the White House?
They're connecting it with Biden, correct. So there's almost like the sense of nostalgia for the Trump period. Let's say in 2017, they want the economy of the Trump era. And they also, similar to 2016, were talking about not getting involved in foreign entanglements and keeping jobs in America, and concerns, too, about the border.
And how, in general, do these Latino voters, two or three generations after people have come to the USA from the Dominican Republic, how do they talk about immigration and talk, for those who associate themselves with the Republican side on immigration, how do they articulate that?
In my interviews, the answer was consistently about closing the border and concerns about the migrant crisis in New York. All of that plays a part in tandem with the concerns about the cost of living that voters in a place like Luzerne County, regardless of background, are flocking toward Trump.
Mm. Charles, do you hear, you know, among the Latino voters a resentment to, you know, migrants crossing illegally, certainly in other immigrant groups, certainly among some Asian Americans? The argument is, you know, I came a generation or two ago, quote, the right way, and we shouldn't be allowing what's happening now.
That's exactly the sentiment being expressed in a place like Hazleton or Allentown or Reading. Yes, that. Mm. And I think I quoted one voter. It's akin to standing in line at the grocery store and somebody in the back gets to go to the front, and yeah, they're casting blame on Biden.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, as I hear you talk about it, I remember it was 2012, I believe, right? The Republican Party, after losing the election, presidential election, had this autopsy where they said, we need the Republican machine to reach out and target Latino voters. But you write that at least in these parts of northeastern Pennsylvania, this is happening organically?
It's happening organically. And when you factor in 2012, the demographic change in what I call this Latino belt, which includes Allentown, Reading, and Hazleton, it really has accelerated that much more since 2012. And it is happening in spite of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania, where, as it stands, the infrastructure of that party is diminished. And there are 600,000 Latinos in Pennsylvania who are eligible to vote, and that's more than enough to decide an election in a state that's infamous for its razor-thin margins.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of rhymes the way you just said that with the importance of the Arab American vote in Michigan. Right. I mean, large enough numbers to be a significant swing vote in a critical swing state. And that brings me kind of to the last question, Charles, is do you sense that the parties, whether the local party organizations in northeastern Pennsylvania or nationally, sense that this cohort of Latino voters could be critical to how 2024 plays out nationally?
I think there is an understanding now more than ever, and an understanding that if the Latino vote is engaged, they will turn out. And I think the challenge for both parties in recent years, on the Republican side, Latino voters were not engaged. And on the Democratic side, the party took their vote for granted. And now we're seeing this dynamic where Latino voters, when engaged, are actually expressing sympathetic viewpoints not only toward the GOP but enthusiasm for Trump in places like Hazleton, where Democrat votes were once considered reliable.
We've been talking to Charles McElwee. He's founding editor of Real Clear Pennsylvania and a contributing writer to Politico magazine and City Journal. Charles, thanks so much for the time.
Scott, thank you.